Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're going to talk about how the extra travel of the new balanced schedule might affect the Dodgers and other teams. We're going to talk about the Padres and moves that they make and whether the Dodgers have to respond to them. And we're going to talk about the winter meetings, what to expect, what not to expect, and just kind of a overview of the winter meetings, which are starting this weekend. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box, in the locker room, and at the winter meetings. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So, we're not quite insiders, but we bring the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And with that out of the way, Vince, how are you doing today?
I am doing all right. It's still a slow... World Cup's going on, but now Mexico's out, so I'm not as invested anymore. So now it's back to, but the Raiders are trying to reel me back in, but realistically, they're still out of it. You know, Lakers trying to reel me back in, but hoping these winter meetings bring me back into 100% or maybe like 75% Dodgers and get me excited again for March or February, late February.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm sorry about your Mexican national team in the World Cup. That was a bummer. I watched that, and I do have to say the one good thing about Saudi Arabia scoring that late goal is that at least it meant that Mexico didn't advance based on something that has to do with soccer, because as it stood, it was going to come down to a tiebreaker, like the fourth tiebreaker, which was who got more yellow cards or who got fewer yellow cards, basically.
Yeah, it's fair play points. But none of them had red cards, so it came down to yellow cards.
Yeah.
And Mexico had more yellow cards.
Yeah, and I think that's a silly way to advance. So at least with Saudi Arabia scoring, Poland moved on because they had a better goal differential than Mexico did, which is at least related to soccer. So, so are you going to keep watching? You're going to start rooting for the country you're actually born and raised in now?
Won't be doing that, but I will keep watching.
Oh, should I move out of the way so you can see my flag behind me, Vince? Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Dodgers, not about soccer. All I know is that my country is moving on to the round of 16. So, I'm happy about that. Let's jump right in. We talked last week or earlier this week, maybe it was Monday's episode, about the new schedule that's a little bit more balanced, and meaning that every team will play every other team every year. And we talked about some of the pros and cons and why they might have done that. And our buddy Pat Dwyer, loyal listener, good dude, met him several times at Dodger Stadium. Great guy, and asked a lot of good questions. And he sent us a DM on Monday. He said, following up on the balanced schedule talk from today's podcast, I'm curious for your thoughts on the additional travel that will be involved. 2023 schedule features Dodgers road trips to the Eastern time zone each month. Last season, they went from late June to late August without playing in the Eastern time zone. And yeah, it's something that I hadn't specifically thought about anyway. Obviously, there is more travel because you're, instead of playing it in previous years, you would play four other teams in your division. Well, the 14 other teams in your league, you'd play all of them, and then you would play five or six teams in the other league. And now that's going up to 15 teams in the other league. So it's 9 or 10 more teams that you're playing, which means four or five extra trips. Cause some of them you only play at home, some you only play on the road. So it's four or five extra trips. Although, is it even four or five extra trips? Because I think in the past when you were just playing one division in the other league, you would generally do a home and home set with them. And so the difference in travel might even be less than I was thinking, but either way, I actually looked at the actual numbers of how many miles the Dodgers traveled in 2022 and how many they will travel in 2023 based on the schedule. And the difference, it's definitely a difference, but it's not a crazy difference. In 2022, the Dodgers traveled 36,694 miles. And in 2023, that number is 41,698. So a difference of 5,004 miles, which is, if we look at percentage-wise, 36,694. So it's 13.6% more miles that they will travel in 2023 than they did in 2022. If you break it down, they have 13 road trips, although one of them is just a two-game trip to Anaheim, which doesn't involve any flight. It's kind of funny. Yeah, they have a six-game homestand and then two games in Anaheim and then three more games at home. So it's basically 11-game homestand with two of the games in Anaheim. So if we cut it down, say 12 actual road trips where they actually have to fly somewhere, divide that 5,004 miles by 12, that's 417 extra miles per trip compared to last year, which really, you know, 200 miles each way. So really you're adding a half hour to each flight, basically. And when you look at it that way, it's really not that big of a deal that I don't know. Like it seems to me like even though they're going to more places, the total travel seems like it would be what matters. And when you break it down to each flight lasts a half hour longer, doesn't seem like that big a deal. Does it, Vince?
Yeah. And I haven't broken it down or you know, I would imagine that they're just having extended road trips, not more, you know, they might have a couple more actual road trips, but they also probably just extended some road trips, which makes it a little bit different. Let's just say you're not flying to New York, flying back, and then flying to Philly and then flying back. It might be one where you fly to New York and then go to Philly and then what, like Baltimore, something like that, where it's all relatively close. You know, I don't think that's the road trip they have next year, but that in theory could be a road trip they take 1 year. So when you think about it that way, and then when you think about it just based on the teams that are still in their division, you know, Padres, Giants, Rockies, D-backs, I mean, for the most part, the Rockies maybe benefit the most in terms of traveling less because they're a little bit more centralized, but not by much. But everyone else is going to be doing similar or same travel. If not this year, then, you know, if it's not an advantage this year, it'll be an advantage next year type of thing where, you know, the home and home switches or whatever the case is going. So, yeah, is it going to be more for them and for the players? Yeah, definitely. You know, traveling does take a toll. I know, you know, just traveling for the World Series, I'm not even playing any games. I'm just traveling and going to cover it and, you know, whatever. I was exhausted after those, you know, seven games. And I can imagine that, you know, Dodger players or six games, I can imagine that it takes a toll on you. But, you know, these guys are in way better shape and, you know, much better position to succeed in something like that than I am. So I don't think it'll be too much of an issue for them. And it might just make those dog days of summer a little bit longer than maybe years past.
Yeah. And for me, those travel issues apply to being a Major League Baseball player in general, you know, not so much this additional travel. You know, they're already used to traveling and it's just adding a little bit to that. Yeah. Those teams in the Central Time Zone, if you look at who has the least travel, the bottom seven are all teams in central divisions. The Brewers, Tigers, White Sox, Guardians, Reds, Twins, and Pirates are the seven lowest travel amounts. And it's by quite a bit. The Brewers have just over half as many miles traveled as the A's. The Brewers travel 25,426 miles in 2023. The A's are at 51,527. Nice thing for the Mariners. They drop out of first place. They've always had the most travel, but for whatever reason, the way the schedule, they only have the second most in 2023. So anyway, Pat, we really appreciate the question. It's thought provoking. It's fun to talk about and definitely something to keep an eye on for sure. As we get into the season, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about the Padres moves that they are rumored to be thinking about making and whether the Dodgers might need to react to those moves. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. When you're done with this, if you're looking for a second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, Vince, we're talking about the offseason. Basically, every team is looking at making moves, looking at the trade market, the free agent market, their internal system. The Dodgers, they have holes to fill for sure, and they have internal options for all of the holes, but chances are they'll go outside the organization looking at, where they might go. And you and I were talking before we started recording about, the Padres moves. There was what brought it on, I think, was a rumor that the Padres are looking into Xander Bogaerts, and which would be an interesting thing. It makes you wonder if they're not confident in Ha-Seong Kim as their shortstop, if they do decide to move Fernando Tatis to the outfield. Because, Bogaerts, you already have, in a way, you have three shortstops already with Tatis, Machado, and Kim. Might as well add a fourth one. We're wondering about the idea of, now that the Padres have actually done something in this quote-unquote rivalry, the Padres have actually eliminated the Dodgers from the postseason. Is there more teeth to the rivalry? And does it mean that the Dodgers would have to actually be more reactionary when it comes to what the Padres are doing this offseason? If they sign Xander Bogaerts, do the Dodgers then feel more pressure to sign one of the other, big shortstop free agents or, things like that? I don't know. Vince, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, short answer or realistic answer, if we were Andrew Friedman, would be no. But we're not Andrew Friedman. We're a Dodgers fan podcast. And we can kind of skew the question in that sense of, do we think the Dodgers should be more reactionary in that case? And I know when it came to Bogaerts, it was one of those where they inquired about him. Would he be down to switch positions? Scott Boras said no to that real quick. The other part I read was that in case Manny opts out, Bogaerts could, in theory, slide to third if they needed him to and stuff like that. But when it comes to being reactionary with the Padres, it's going to be hard to, as fans, to not be like, oh, well, they get, a top four shortstop. Now we need to go get a top four shortstop, or we need to get Aaron Judge, or we need to get somebody in this lineup that changes the dynamics. And, realistically, it doesn't have to be that way, but it makes sense. The thing with the Padres and with the Dodgers is you we've seen the building go in different ways. The Padres didn't go for as much depth. They've gone for the big names. They've gone for the heavy stars, and hasn't worked out for them in the regular season so far. Last year worked out for them in the postseason a little bit. Not that the Dodgers don't have stars, and not that, that was a reason that they won in the postseason. The Dodgers, the Dodgers stars would have played to their capabilities and the Dodgers would have won that series. And we probably wouldn't be having this conversation anyways, but it's the conversation to have now that they have lost. And, I don't think the Dodgers will be reactionary. I don't think there's a reason to. I think, the Dodgers have a system and a process in place that allows them to continue to be good, that allows them to have flexibility to do different things. And they don't have to, worry about certain things. We've seen, the Dodgers lose superstars and be able to either replace them or to get production from other parts and be fine with it. And that's where the depth comes in for the long haul of the regular season. I don't think that's going to change. I don't think it should change. And then when it comes down to postseason, you're not making any moves based on the other teams you're going to play in the postseason or could potentially play in the postseason, because you don't know who you're going to play. And it's not, let's just say you see a team, or if you were someone that was going to face the Dodgers last year and you're like, oh, they have a bunch of lefties, so we're going to stack our lineup with righties. And then you don't even play the Dodgers in the postseason because they lose in the first round or whatever the case is. So, there's no reason to be reactionary. I do think as fans, we could consider it and we could be like, oh man, that we need to go get so-and-so or whatever. But I do think as fans, we've been reactionary a lot of times. And it's always funny to me when we get the questions about why are we looking at hitters when we need pitching? And it's like, I don't know how many times there's a lot less times I've been frustrated with pitching in postseason than I have been with hitting. And it can go either way, because you can be like, oh, well, you know, whatever the case is, but the offense didn't score. You know, if the offense is averaging 5 runs during the regular season and they're not doing that in the postseason, that's, you know, not good to me. And if the pitching is, you know, holding a 1-0 lead and then they blow it and they lose 2-1, I'm not inclined to blame the pitching. I'm inclined to blame the hitting. So I think it's just a matter of Dodgers performing when it comes down to it, not being reactionary. But it will, you know, now that the Padres have one on the board, it does make it a little bit more fun in the sense that it could become more of a rivalry, even though the Giants are still the main rivals.
Yeah, it was easier last year at the trade deadline when the Padres got Juan Soto and they got Josh Hader. It was easier to kind of just say, okay, whatever, because the Dodgers already had a double-digit lead in the division, ended up extending that lead even after those acquisitions. You know, Soto actually didn't play very well for the Padres in the regular season. But then when it came down to it, Soto was the one who got the, you know, the big game tying hit in game 4 of the NLDS. And, you know, Soto's a great hitter, you know, but, you know, here in the offseason, right now, the teams are tied in the division. It's, you know, nobody has a double digit lead in the division to rest on. And so, yeah, I do agree with you that Andrew Friedman's answer and the correct answer is no, we don't care what other teams are doing. We're going to build the best team we can build. And, you know, that's our approach. And that is the correct approach. But I definitely understand as fans, you know, kind of keeping tabs on other teams and thinking, okay, do we need to do something? And, you know, with the Giants being one of the really likely teams to sign Aaron Judge, it seems like it's either the Yankees or the Giants at this point. And, you know, thinking, okay, well, do the Dodgers have to react? And I think, and this is kind of a shift in subjects, but I am interested to hear your thoughts, Vince, if you feel the same way. I think a lot of us Dodger fans won't be heartbroken if Judge signs with the Giants. Obviously Judge is a great hitter, great player, but at his age, seeing the holes that have been exploited, I think there are holes in his swing that come with being 35 feet tall. I think there's just certain pitches that you can't reach very well. And so it seems to me like Aaron Judge is a guy who, if a pitcher makes his pitch, Judge can be beat. And I think he's going to become more and more like that over the next several years. And so I kind of find myself hoping the Giants commit to paying him for 8 or 9 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it last week that I wouldn't mind, just for the fact, like, the Giants need more than Aaron Judge to get back. You know, 2021 was, for all intents and purposes, a fluke.
And,
they were not a 107-win team. They just way overperformed. Last year, you know, back to the meeting or back to, you know, and we saw what happened. And with Judge, too, it's like, okay, he hit 61 home runs. And, yeah, he split them between Yankee Stadium and away stadiums. But, you know, Yankee Stadium is a lot different than what's it called, Oracle Park. That's what it's called. You know, he's not going to get those little, you know, 315-foot home runs over the right field wall. He's not going to get that type of stuff. And then the other part, too, is, yeah, I think we've seen – I mean, I watched a lot more Judge at-bats last year than, you know, I would have ever thought, just because it's, you know, part of my day job type of stuff. And a lot of his home runs were just mistakes. And, you know, not that pitchers, if he comes to the NL West, or, you know, he's not going to face less mistakes or get less mistakes. But I feel like last year when teams started to really lock in on him, when nobody wanted to give up 60 and 61 and 62, it took him a little longer to get those three. And in the postseason, when teams definitely don't want you to beat him, you know, he wasn't as successful as he was during the regular season. So, and we saw Kershaw strike him out in the All-Star game. So, you know, there are those ways. And, you know, I don't think Aaron Judge is a guy. There is no guy like this, because we've seen with Otani and Trout, there's no guy that's going to help transform a team. So if he goes to the Giants, it'd actually be cool, because you get to see him a little bit more often if you're a Dodger fan that goes to Dodger games.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't plan on talking about that, but it popped into my head based on, you know, just the reactionary thing. So, yeah, I think the Dodgers will do what they need to do to build a good team. And, you know, we'll see how it all plays out next year, depending on what the other teams do. But I don't think the Dodgers are going to care much what other teams do. So we're going to come back in a minute. We are going to talk about the winter meetings, which start this weekend. Kind of talk about, you know, what to expect, what it's like. I've been there 3 times and, you know, it's a lot of fun and a lot of pomp and circumstance, but, we will be back to talk about that in just a second. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right. We are back for one last segment. Vince, the winter meetings start this weekend, technically on Sunday. They go technically till Wednesday, although my experience has always been, well, the first two I went to were in Nashville and Washington, D.C., so I flew to those. The third one was in Las Vegas, so I drove to that one. And both Nashville in 2015 and Washington, D.C. in 2016, I booked my flight to fly home on Wednesday evening, and I remember thinking, man, I wish I booked my flight to fly home Tuesday evening, because Wednesday is pretty darn dead there. They do the Rule 5 draft, and other than that, not much. The one benefit of waiting until then was I ended up sitting at the table next to Theo Epstein and JP Ricciardi and a couple other well-known front office type guys at the Chipotle in the airport in Nashville. And but then my burrito had too much cilantro in it, and I have a little allergy to cilantro. I ended up having to run to the bathroom and throw up. And I just chalked it up to nerves of being next to Theo Epstein, but yeah, I think it was probably the cilantro. But yeah, Vince, have you ever been to the winter meetings?
Not been to the winter meetings. I'm planning on making this my first year going to the winter meetings, since it is in San Diego, pretty close to me. I already got approved from MLB, like, to be in a little workspace or whatever credential they give you there. But yeah, I'm planning on being there, so we'll see. I guess not for us as Dodger fans, but the other added thing they have for the winter meetings now is the MLB draft lottery. We'll see which teams are going to end up picking first and second and third and however far they go. I don't know. I actually don't even really know. Is it lottery teams like NBA? Is it the whole first round? I don't even know.
I don't even know. It doesn't apply to the Dodgers, so I haven't paid much attention to that. So
yeah, but no, I'm looking forward, you know, just at the very least networking for someone in baseball. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be players there. Maybe Aaron Judge will show up and sign while he's there. That'd be, you know, pretty cool, I guess, even if it's with the Giants. But, yeah, Jeff, I mean, you've been there, so you know a little bit more of what exactly happens. I know it's basically kind of like the GM meetings where guys just come together and there's a lot of talk about baseball. And sometimes stuff gets done. I think – I don't remember if the Matt Kemp trade actually got done at the winter meetings, but I remember staying up to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. because there kept being rumors coming about the Kemp Grandal trade back in the day.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, if you are credentialed media, which I've been all 3 times that I've been, so you're sitting in the media workroom, which is a huge ballroom, you know, with hundreds of just, you know, tables and chairs set up, and you just kind of find a spot and you do your work. And it's literally hundreds of media members refreshing Twitter to see if anything happened at the meetings that they're at. Like that's how, even at the winter meetings, news breaks on Twitter. And obviously some of the newsbreakers are actually, you know, Ken Rosenthal is working the phones, but even then you'll be in the room and you'll see Ken Rosenthal across the room texting, and you start, okay, refreshing Twitter. Is Ken about to break something, you know? But yeah, one of the coolest things is, even if you're not credentialed media, just being there, it's kind of cool because there's just baseball people wandering around the hotel, and there's very little, like, you're least likely to see the baseball people in the media workroom. They're going to be, you know, wandering around the hotel. And I was sitting there in Vegas and Chase Utley walks by, and, you know, it's like, at first you just, I remember the first time when I went in Nashville and I'm walking in, and the very first person I see is Jim Leland. And it's like, I've seen Jim Leland on my TV 50,000 times. And then you walk in and it's like, hey, that's Jim Leland, you know? And it's just, it's crazy. And you just kind of get used to it as the days go by. Oh, there's Chase Utley. There's Don Mattingly. There's Bruce Bochy. You know, I remember seeing Bruce Bochy walking around the hotel in Washington, D.C. And like, even though I hate the Giants, I just wanted to, like, give Bruce Bochy a hug and a piggyback ride, because he just looks like he's in pain everywhere he walks, you know? And yeah, it's a really cool, actually the coolest thing was in DC, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there. And, you know, I grew up watching Hacksaw Jim Duggan wrestle, and he was there for some promotion because the winter meetings actually started as a minor league thing. They are basically a minor league job fair and a trade show, and Major League Baseball just kind of tacked onto it. But still, you know, that's where you'll see hundreds of dudes walking around in their suit and tie, young guys who are looking for jobs or internships with minor league baseball teams. I used to joke, I haven't seen that many white dudes in ill-fitting suits since my Mormon mission. You know, cause it's just, you know, these guys, they have never worn a suit in their lives and they're trying to get a job. But yeah, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there for the trade show at some booth. And so he's walking around. So I ended up standing and talking to Hacksaw Jim Duggan for like 10 minutes, took a picture with him. And I think the first time he's ever taken a picture with somebody bigger than him. But yeah, it's just cool. And, you know, MLB Network is broadcasting from there. So you can go stand in the backdrop of their cameras and wave at the camera. And it's a really cool experience, and it's all just open to the public. You know, this is all happening in the public areas of the hotel. You don't have to have credentials. I'm hoping to be credentialed. I'm waiting to hear back because I have work to do. And so it's nice to have a place to go set up your laptop and actually do work while you're there if you have work to do. But if you can just go down to the hotel, if you're in the San Diego area, just go hang out there in the lobby for a day and just wander around, and you're going to see people and things, and, you know, and they're all busy and in a hurry. And, you know, but I mean, if you're a fan, there are people there trying to get autographs, and there's always the autograph hounds with their kids who are, you know, pretending that the autographs are for the kids when they're really for the parents. And yeah, I've seen, I was there at the press conference when the Dodgers re-signed Rich Hill. That was at the 2016 in DC. You know, I was at that press conference. I actually asked him a question. That was kind of cool. For Francisco Lindor was at those too. He was there for some promotion thing. And so some company that sponsors him, he was there for them. And yeah, you just see, sometimes it's big stars. You see just wandering around the winter meetings. And yeah, Aaron Judge very well could show up because, you know, there are rumors that he might sign with somebody at the winter meetings. And if so, yeah, they'll probably do a press conference there at the winter meetings. And that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, it's a cool atmosphere. I would caution you, a lot of times, not much happens. You know, we think, oh, everybody's in the same hotel. They're gonna get these deals done. But really, Andrew Friedman's sitting in one hotel suite and other GMs are sitting in another hotel suite, and they're still just texting each other or calling each other. It's not like they're, okay, let's meet up at 8:45 in the lobby and we'll hash out this deal. So I'm sure they do have some meetings. It's easier to, okay, well, we're this far along. Why don't you come over to our suite and let's, you know, hash out the details. But I think a lot of it's still happening on the phone. And so I don't know how much more is going to get done in person. Mostly I'm just excited that they're actually happening because we haven't had winter meetings since 2019 because COVID killed it in 2020 and then the lockout killed it last year.
Yeah, with manager in-game interviews and even player in-game interviews, I think we need to have public trade hashing outs. Just be like, all right, you guys start talking and let's make a trade. So that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, all in all, you know, hopefully I get to experience that this time and see what it's like. But for the Dodgers, you know, this maybe not the winter meetings per se, but just this winter is pretty important. And these winter meetings are, you know, Passan and a bunch of these guys are all saying, oh, the winter meetings is where things are going to start to kick off. So we may get some news hopefully in the next week or so. And we may have stuff to actually talk about instead of just theories and thoughts and rumors. But I think it is going to be, if it's not something that happens next week, it's going to be, you know, the makings of something that happens. You know, if it's not, you know, a conversation that's had, or, you know, whatever it is for the Dodgers, it's whether it's with free agents, whether it's with the team for trades, you know, I think it's going to kick off something and hopefully here these next, you know, December can get, you know, the hot stove going maybe into January, because at least this year we'll have, you know, World Baseball Classic to get excited for during spring training time. But for right now, it's been a little bit slow. And this is the winter meetings could be, you know, a little bit more exciting and give us kind of how we talked about baseball or basketball and football free agency, where they have a kind of the frenzy. Maybe these winter meetings will kick off a little bit of a frenzy.
Yeah, and really, it's just getting back to normal. You know, we're coming up on 4 years that you and I have been doing this podcast daily. We've had COVID and a lockout in that time. It's like, you know what? For people who do a daily Dodgers podcast, the winter meetings are going to be awesome because there will be stuff to talk about. Even if it's, hey, nothing happened today, here's how it didn't happen. You know, that's something to talk about. So COVID was rough and the lockout was rough. But, you know, we were here and we kept doing it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll look forward to the winter meetings.
Yeah, hopefully I'll see you down there. I haven't decided for sure if I'm going. I'm waiting to see if I get credentialed, but I might go even if I don't get credentialed. And, you know, it's an excuse to go see my nephew. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but hopefully I'll see you down there. You got anything else for today, Vince?
Got nothing else.
All right, that's going to do it for us then. Thank you all again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, we would love if you add 1 or 2 days a week to your rotation. If you joined us on YouTube and this is your first time ever, please subscribe. Keep coming back. We do this 5 days a week, and we love talking Dodgers. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all those places. Our email address is LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.